Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Happy Sabbath to you, and welcome to worship. I was really torn this week on where to go this Sabbath, because I left off part of my message last time I was with you, not last Sabbath, but the Sabbath before, and I was torn. Do I finish that, or do I go on to the next thing that I really want to do? And so I was just really struggling, and since I really feel like I should finish what I start, I'm going to go back to the message that I didn't quite get through a couple of weeks ago, and we'll finish there. And you may recall sort of where we went with that. We talked, I put some, which by the way, I got in a lot of trouble for this. I put some photos up of my kids. And you could see how they had grown. And what I suggested to you, what I really, really believe with all my heart, is that it's possible to grow, but not mature. And that was that's the challenge that we face as Christians. In other words, we can grow informationally. We can expand our information and our knowledge about God and about church and about Christianity and about faith and not really mature. And the reason we say that is because maturity requires something else. In fact, maturity demands something else. And if you were following and if you remember, we said that maturity demands that you apply that knowledge then to your life, right? Was that like totally all new to everybody, or is anybody with me? Do you remember that at all if you were here? All right, I'm trying to bring you up to speed, and then we'll jump into it. And so that's the big message of this idea of growing, not just growing, not just expanding our knowledge up here, but actually applying God's word to our lives in such a way that it matures us. And the Bible talks a lot about maturity. It talks about perfection. It talks about completeness. Till we grow to a point where there's a level of spiritual maturity. And remember the word for maturity? Does anyone remember the word for maturity? It's like a telescope. Remember I talked about a telescope and how it expands, and it's sort of a picture of how we mature and we grow and we expand, and when we come to the end, we've matured, just like a telescope expands out. So that's the idea that the Bible sort of portrays in a picture, in a word picture, of what maturity is. And so then we went into this acrostic, GROW, G-R-O-W. And I said the G stood for God wants us to go from good to great spiritually. Sort of cueing off of that real popular business book, business leadership book called Good to Great. But I really believe that. God wants us to move to mature from good to great spiritually. And the way that you make that leap, again, is by applying God's word to our lives, doing some hard things. Maturity comes with some pain. Amen? All of us, we all remember those rough years of growing up through our adolescence, and we were awkward, and we weren't really sure what was going on half the time. And there were some painful experiences, but we grew up through those, and eventually, hopefully, we've matured some. So we said that God wants us to go from good to great, and that process of maturation is maybe painful. It may be challenging. It may be tough for us to move from this place spiritually to another place spiritually. Then we said that the R stood for... Relationships. Maybe this isn't true always, but I try to, in every message, bring us back to the great commandment. The great commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So God challenges us to grow in our relationship with him, to grow and to mature spiritually. But he also challenges us in the most difficult way, perhaps, is in our interpersonal relationships. That grows us, that matures us. So as we grow up, particularly, as we mature, particularly in the context of a local church, interpersonal relationships are extremely, extremely important. And you say, why? Well, because we're a community. And because we have a mission. And in order to fulfill that mission, in order to do what God wants us to do in the way that he wants us to do it, we have to cooperate and operate as a community and stay on task and go on this mission. If indeed we cannot relate to each other, that makes it extremely, extremely difficult. The Bible portrays the church as the body, right? And I heard about a pastor who did this, and maybe I'll try it sometime. But I'm sort of letting it out right now, so it wouldn't be a surprise to you. But he had a bunch of tables on the stage here in church, and he had it covered up, had them all covered up with white sheets, and he had these big kind of cylinders. All up there covered up, but they're on this table, and so they almost like something you would see in a science lab, but they were bigger. And underneath the sheet at the appropriate time, he was doing a sermon on the church and how the church is a body, you know, and you know how Corinthians portrays, it shows the church as a body, and we're one, right? And the eye cannot say to the ear that I don't need you, right? That's what Corinthians says. So he pulls the sheets off as he's given the sermon, and in these big round cylinders, something like you would see in a lab, clear see-through, are body parts. Detached body parts. Now, I have no idea where he got them from, and I don't think they were real. I didn't read that part, so I don't think they were real. But he had these he had body parts lined up in this thing, and they were all separated, and they all looked like they had been detached very viciously or very violently, all right? That's what it looked like. So you had like a horror movie almost, which you don't watch, so you don't really get that. But if you did watch it, you know, that's what it would look like. And his point was, when the church isn't together, when the church doesn't operate as community, that's what we look like. We look like a horror film, especially to those out there looking on. I said, what an appropriate thing. And how attractive is that? Not at all. Not at all. So again, we said that the R is for relationships, and that's really where the area where we have to grow. And that's the area where we're challenged. We're particularly challenged in that very often we don't see each other enough. And we don't communicate enough. We don't sit in smaller groups enough. We come together in a corporate assembly, but then we go our separate ways. And so then we're challenged in our relationships. And you remember the series we had with Pastor Lee Vinden. And he ended that series talking about how vital small groups were. And I know a lot of people said, boy, I want to start a small group. And I think it will eventually happen that someone will start a small group. But it hasn't yet. You know, some groups sort of naturally are together. They're kind of social groups, and there are people that you gravitate more towards than others just simply because you're at the same life station, you know, same station in life. You got kids or you don't have kids, or that's just the way it goes. So there's a, sort of a natural coming together. But what about intentionally coming together for the sake of spiritual maturation and growth? We tend not to move in that direction. We certainly move in that direction for social engagement. And that's good. We got to have that too. But what I believe with all of my heart is that as we bump up against each other in relationships with a spiritual purpose, it grows us spiritually. I would venture to guess that most of us don't need to grow socially that much. We're probably doing okay. Maybe we need to a little bit. But spiritually, there's a level of maturation that we need to reach. And so relationships was that R in grow. Interpersonal relationships, such a challenge and such so vital. So vital. I believe it's a real powerful example that Jesus decided to come to the earth and spend his time in ministry with 11 other people or 12 other people, right? He lost one along the way, right? And he had to deal with all the stuff that goes on there. He was part of a small group. And I believe that it obviously matured and grew as followers. So now let's keep going. So we go to the O in this idea, and everybody's waiting for the O. What's the O? All right. I believe that the O is opportunities. Opportunities. Very simple. Nothing greatly profound. But you think about it. How many opportunities are missed for growth? How many opportunities are ignored for growth? How many opportunities do we pass up because we're just not listening for God to grow me? Most of the time I'm listening for God to bless me, right? God, I need your blessing. We pray for blessings. I never pray the prayer necessarily for growth. I pray the prayer, God, bless me, make life comfortable for me, make life easier for me, but rarely do I say, grow me, God. And then, if I do say that, do I take the opportunities that are presented before me? So, you take for example, Moses. Moses, when he was walking on the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, he came upon that bush. And that's where God told him, I'm going to grow you. And he resisted that. Now, God didn't say those specific words, but he told him, you're going to lead my people out of bondage in Egypt. But you're going to have to step out of your place where you feel the most comfortable. You're fine here herding sheep on the mountains, but I'm going to take you into this big, scary city. And even Moses said, look, I'm not even a great talker. How can I talk Pharaoh, the king of the world, into letting your people go? And I'm not even a great talker. How am I going to lead those people out? How am I going to lead your people once I get your people out of there? So he struggled with that. But God called him to grow through that. So you have to think about opportunities. Moses responded to the opportunity in a positive way. Moses responded, and he went there, and God was able to grow him into a great leader. And you see growth in Moses all the way through, the journey out of Egypt, the journey into the wilderness, and so forth. You see him grow significantly. So opportunities, another opportunity that was taken. Peter, out in the boat, right? And Peter sees Jesus. Once they get over their fear, they think it's a ghost at first. Once they get over their fear, they see Jesus walking. And Peter sees an opportunity. Says, God, if that's really you, Jesus, if that's really you, allow me to come out onto the water with you. Wow. Wow. How many times do we do that? We see where God is working, where God is moving, where God is walking on the water, where miracles are happening, where things are clearly blessed of God, or things are clearly being moved by God. And we see it as an opportunity. God, let me come walk where you're walking. Let me come be where you're at. Let me come be a part of something that you're doing. Opportunities. Opportunities. And there's opportunities for growth. It's opportunities for us to get out of the boat. It's like that book by John Orberg. It says, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. So God lays opportunities before us to get out of the boat, to jump in, to experience growth that's spurred by His Spirit. And the question becomes, will we take these opportunities? See, we can't complain about not growing if indeed we pass up the opportunities to grow. What do they look like? It's tough to say, but it may be, God calling you to be engaged in some level of ministry. It may be God calling you to equip yourself for ministry, to go back to school, I don't know, to do something significant. But it's going to stretch you, and it's going to grow you, and it's going to cause some disequilibrium and some discomfort to us. And that may be a challenge for us. It may be in the relationship department. Yeah. We may be called and challenged there. You may struggle with certain things when it relates to relating to other people, and God may call you to step out of the boat a little bit and to grow in that area. We're all sort of different, but I think we have to listen to where God is leading. Let me pause right there and throw this out to you. I think growth happens with intimacy. See, so catch this. This is, I think growth happens with intimacy. So the closer I get to God, the more I'm going to grow. The more my relationship with God, the more intense my relationship with God is, the more I'm going to grow. So our challenge is to move back towards God in relationship with Him, to live in community with Him, and to embrace Him, to engage Jesus. And as we do that, my desire to grow closer to Him, or my desire to grow spiritually, increases. My appetite, that's the word. My appetite for growth increases. Not just for information, although information is important, but application. God, show me how to put this, to infuse this into my world, into my life. God, help me to take your word and use it in my life. Help me to take you and apply you to where I live. That happens as we grow closer to Christ, as we spend time with Him, as we commune with Him, as we interact with Him, as we worship Him, as we engage Him. Does that make sense? Our appetite for growth, for maturation, deepens as we engage God in worship. Let me say that also applies, again, to our interpersonal relationships. The greater level of intimacy, the greater level of growth in the relationship. All right, so I had someone last year, a couple of years ago, I had someone come and sit in my, as a member of this church. They came to my office, and there had been some conflict between us. There had been some words spoken, very straightforward, and people got mad and so forth. Maybe we were all mad, I don't know. But anyway, so this person called me up and said, "Hey, I want to come to your office and I want to talk." I said, "Absolutely, please come do that." Which, by the way, that applies to all of you. Happy to come to you, or I will come to you. Or happy for you to come to me, or I will come to you. So anyway, so he comes and he sits down, and we begin to talk a little bit. He says, I'm coming here because we've had this misunderstanding, we've had these words, and I recognize that perhaps we just don't know each other well enough. We don't know each other. There's a lack of intimacy and connection between us. I said, "You know, you're absolutely right. Let's talk. So we spent the next hour to an hour and a half just sort of talking about our lives, our backgrounds, where we were from, what we have experienced in life, ministry path, my ministry path, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of that conversation, you know, we had prayer and that was the end. But there was a greater level of understanding and the relationship has grown. Do we still agree on everything? Do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But is there a greater appreciation and love for my brother? Yes. Absolutely. The greater level of intimacy, a higher level of growth within the context of the relationship. And a lot of our relationships need to grow beyond the surface. If it stays surface, if I don't know you, then it's easier for me to blame you for something that maybe you didn't do or something you didn't mean, or there's greater misunderstanding. You follow me? Because I just assume that you are that way. If you treat me bad, then you're just a bad person, even though I don't really know you. So this is so critical, so vital to the health and welfare, well-being, and mission of a church that we can interact interpersonally in relationship on a higher level of intimacy so that we can deal with the stuff that inevitably comes up. Because the closer you are, inevitably something's going to come between you and cause friction. And if indeed you continue to be close, and there's a deeper level of intimacy, you can deal with those things. Now, they may not always end good, but at least you're dealing with it at some level. So, pause, take the pause button off. We're talking about good to great spiritually, relationships, interpersonal relationships, opportunities that God has for you to grow, opportunities that God has for us to grow, and then W. The W stands for, everybody saying work, similar, wait. Wait. What do I mean by wait? I sincerely believe, again, with all my heart, that in order for us to mature and grow, you have to take on more responsibility. You have to shoulder the load. You have to shoulder the load. In other words, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to take the responsibility for ministry within the context of our local church. And just what was being said about children's ministry, they need help, they need volunteers, they need people. That's what I mean, is that you take the weight. In other words, immature believers, informational believers, are happy to just have information and do nothing about it. They're happy to have someone else take the responsibility for ministry, and they remain on the sidelines. Right? That's what it. Here's an example. When I worked at summer camp again, and I've thrown these stories out a ton of times to longtime members, so you're sick of them. But anyway, our understanding when as a staff person, when we hit the ground during staff week, was that it's not that it's somebody else's work or it's the camp director's work. It's everybody's work. This is a ministry, and so ministry demands that everyone pick up the mantle of ministry, so to speak, and be a part and do it and shoulder a load, carry the responsibility. So wherever we were at camp, whatever, if something went down or if there was something that wasn't being done, we did it. We just did it. Didn't matter if you were a counselor and this was the craft person's job. If there was a craft that needed to be done and you needed to lead the kids in doing it, you just did it. That's what you do. You just stepped up to the plate. So the idea for maturing believers is that it's not just it's ministry, but it's my ministry too. Oh, here it is. God's moving. So Jesus made this great statement. He said, "I came to serve and not to be served." That's the mature believer. I'm here to serve, not just to be served. Wow. You know that you've grown, not just informationally, but spiritually, when you begin to say, "I'm here to serve, not just to be served." And that's where we all want to get to. Is that I begin to say, "I'm here to serve, man." And I may not, you know, and sometimes I know we want to restrict it to just our area of giftedness. And that's nice when we can operate in our area of giftedness. And hopefully, as a ministry grows, you're able to focus. But sometimes we don't have the luxury of operating in just our area of giftedness. So we have to stretch ourselves. We have to go outside of our little safety zone of gifts and say, "Okay, I'm here. I'll do whatever. I may not be great. It may be a little awkward for me. You're going to have to teach me and show me," because maturity also demands humility. So you're humble enough to say, "I don't really know, but teach me. Teach me. Show me the way. And I'll do it. I'll be a part of it. Because I'm here to serve and not just be served. There's a great need that needs to be met. I will come along and meet it." Someone in our leadership team here used a word a while back that I hesitate to use, but I'm going to go ahead and use it, and it's okay. I hope it's okay. Essentially, if you're unwilling to shoulder the load of ministry as a believer, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you have given your life to Jesus, you are that person. You are then called and drawn into ministry in some capacity. If indeed you refuse that, this word picture that was painted by one of my leaders was that of a leech. A leech. And what does a leech do? Sucks the life right out of you. Right? So in essence, if indeed you are in the body as a believer, and you are not shouldering the responsibility of ministry, bearing the weight of ministry, in some sense, you are actually draining the life out of the body. And so the challenge to all of us is to grow. The challenge to all of us is to get to a point where we're mature enough to say, "I'm not just here for me. I'm here for the children, or I'm here for some other people. In some capacity, I'm going to shoulder the load because I really don't want to be a leech and drain the life out of the body. So, again, grow. Good to great spiritually. Good to great spiritually. Relationships are vital to our growth. God's going to challenge us in some way in the context of our relationships, because not everybody has perfect relationships. It may be your marriage. It may be your relationship with a buddy or a friend or a colleague at work. I don't know how God's going to grow you in terms of your relationship. It may just be in the context of this local church, how you relate to people. Maybe God's calling you to move outside of the comfortable group that you like hanging out with, and they know you and you do things together and you relate in the same way. God's doing that with me right now. I'll tell you, there's a person that I'm engaging with. It's a new person I've been recently introduced to. Challenging me, baby. Nothing wrong with the person, but totally different everything. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I don't get to choose my brother, right? Remember that line? I don't get to choose my brother. So, relationships. Oh, opportunities. Take the opportunities. Listen for God leading with the opportunities. God's gonna roll out the opportunities. You have to respond. God's not going to force us. Force me. He's not going to force you. And then W, shoulder the weight. Bear the load of ministry. Bear the load of ministry. So that's grow. That's how we move from just simply being informational believers, full of stuff, full of information, bloated on information, growing but never maturing. My challenge to you is that you will mature, that we will mature, I will mature. And I think that's the path that we take at some level as we do that. Let me close with a word of prayer, and we'll let you go. Father in heaven, God, it's challenging to begin to talk about maturing as a believer. And yet you demand that, and you long for, and you ask us to grow and to become believers that live wholly devoted to you, fully devoted to you. And that demands that we are willing to grow, God. And so I pray that would be each and every one of us. That would be our desire, God. And that we would take steps in that direction, as difficult as it may be, God. Particularly, God, as it relates to how we relate to one another, how we love our brother or our sister, which is the most challenging, God. And yet you call us to. So, God, where relationships are strained, whether it be a marriage or a friendship or in the context of our local church, God, I pray that you would help us to grow through that and to mature through that. And whatever it takes for us, whether it be a conversation, maybe it means a difficult conversation, maybe it means something that's really outside of our comfort zone, God, I pray that you give us the strength and the courage to do that and to no longer be passive about it. And God, where we need to shoulder the weight of ministry more and not let someone else do it, I pray that we would respond there as well. Whatever the case may be, God, spur us on by your Spirit to maturation and growth. Thank you, God, for loving us through this growth process. You have not left us alone. You still see us as your children. May you continue to bless us, Lord, and may we know the precious love of Jesus throughout our journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org. Or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.